Lecture 7, The Spanish Monarchy.
Having concluded our analysis of the French Wars of Religion, in this lecture we turn to a discussion of the Revolt of the Netherlands, which was actually a series of three distinct rebellions whereby various regions of what are now Belgium and the Netherlands rose up against their sovereign, King Philip II of Spain, and at the end of these rebellions, seven of the original 17 provinces broke away to form the independent Dutch Republic. Now, in the English-speaking world, the traditional image of the Dutch Revolt is a contest of light and darkness, the darkness being Spain. And most historians until quite recently took Spanish wickedness for granted and concentrated on explaining the triumph of the Dutch in the face of really insuperable odds. It is true, I think it must be said, that the Dutch Republic was unusual in early modern Europe for first of all having a non-monarchic form of government, for its economic strength and sophistication, and above all for its strikingly tolerant public ideology, at least by 16th century standards. On the other hand, it also has to be said that the Dutch Republic was an oligarchy, not a democracy, whose elite engaged in decidedly savage behavior in its various colonial projects, including the transatlantic slave trade. But it seems to me that assigning the roles of hero and villain should not be our primary concern here. It's a lot more important to explain how and why the revolt took place and why it ended in the way that it did. And this requires a consideration not merely of the rebel perspective, but also that of the Spanish crown. Bear in mind, I don't think we should become apologists for a policy which, even by 16th century standards, was brutal, which was based on an incorrect assessment of the situation, and in the end, which was ultimately a failure. But nevertheless, most modern historians agree that no 16th century ruler, faced with the double opposition of the high nobility and a revolutionary religious movement armed with a military organization, would have acted differently from Philip II in attempting to forcibly suppress the revolt. This lecture, therefore, will offer a background analysis of the character of Philip II's empire. And this regime had three crucial characteristics. First of all, it was absolutist. Second of all, it was resolutely Catholic. And third of all, it was a global empire. Let's start with the absolutism. The 15th century in Spain saw a series of efforts on the part of the Spanish crown to strengthen its authority, along the same pattern that we've seen in France. These efforts included a reformation of justice by the means of the audiencia, or royal court, established in local districts at the expense of feudal courts. It involved a reorganization of the medieval urban police force, or hermandade, in order to restrain the nobility. And the crown was actually able to force everyone, including the nobility and the clergy, to pay for these hermandades, which played a vital role in the reduction of the nobility and the pursuit of criminals, irrespective of their legal status. At the same time, the crown declared all private wars illegal, and many independent castles of the nobility were destroyed. Thirdly, the towns themselves were now kept in check by royal governors, or corregidores, who were sent to supervise municipal life in all Castilian towns. But again, along the same pattern that we've seen in France, despite a very real increase in royal authority, Spain was in no way a monolithic despotism. In fact, the very concept of the Kingdom of Spain is in some respects a misnomer, because Spain was actually the relatively recent, that is to say since 1469, union of two distinct kingdoms, Aragon in eastern Spain and Castile in central and western Spain. Thus, King Philip II and before him, Charles V, governed less a monolithic state and more a kind of personal union of independent states, which were governed through centralized institutions, but not through unified institutions. This may seem like a kind of institutional hair-splitting. We may ask, why does that matter? But it seems to me it pertains to the definition of an absolute monarchy. An absolute monarchy is a regime where there are no institutionalized sources of alternative authority to the crown. And on this definition, Philip II was an absolute monarch in Castile, but not in Aragon. And I stress that because there are important analogies between the relationships of Castile to Aragon within Spain itself and the relationship between Spain and Netherlands within the Spanish Empire as a whole.